Alrighty, so what day to Skippily and so what day omnes. Welcome again. We're doing this part two of this Q&A ramble bamble skibbity bop sesh. And we're just going to really dive on into it. You know, as per the usual, I'll plug my platforms. You can hit me up at Patreon if you want to support me. Currently, I only have one Patreon, like I mentioned in the prior episode. Thanks, Taylor, again. I also have a YouTube now that I've just been kind of putting a lot of my TikToks onto YouTube at, excuse me, this time. But when I do procure a little bit more time and energy outside of school, I will be doing longer formatted videos. And I also, like, that's the thing is, like, working full time, you guys, like, all the things that I'm doing right now, I don't have the time that I want. Like, I wish I had more time in the day to entertain more private tutoring in my schedule and then also filming. You know, the reason why I've always done TikTok is because I've done, like, it's so easy for me. Like, I've done it because all I do is I get to my planning period. Once I get to it, or at the end of the day, I think of a random prefix, affix, suffix, throw it up on the board, think of some words that are associated with it, and then I just prop up my iPhone and start filming with my lapel mic, of which some of you guys were very much there in, during the whole odyssey of it all when Jeff Bezos kept on sending and resending and then not sending, and then where's my freaking lapel mic, brother man? So, look at that. I just had to pause right there because I got an email from a student there about, she just needs some help with an exercitiones. Anyways, see, that's my life. I get emails on the weekend from parents, from students. I hate having Canvas where students can just, like, message you all the time and stuff like that. I'm not a Canvas person. Whatever. But that's okay. That being said, let's get into our next question after I also mention the fact that I do have this Spotify, right? But I also have Apple Podcast. And if you actually want to type up a blurb as well as leave a rating, you can do that on Apple Podcast. You can't leave, like, a blurb on Spotify. So if you ever want to get shouted out, I like to read those on Apple Podcasts. So I just wanted to mention that real quickly. And now I'll shut my pie hole and we'll get into our next question from Richie Rich, Dickie Dick. Love the name. What has been the most difficult lesson you've learned in life? What a great question. I was not prepared for this one. But I would say one that resonates with me a lot right now that honestly is still kind of pertinent to my life in general. Not so much now, but it creeps in there every now and then. Is love. And the loss of love. And love that you want to be your love, but it's just not the right love for you. I think one of the most difficult lessons in my life is that I tried to force love between a person, between she and I, and she also did the same, and it led to a tattered relationship. And you guys know me, I'm real, and I'll expound on that because this person has made a very, very, very large impression in my life, and I love them, and I will always love them. They've taught me so much about myself. They taught me a lot about what I want in a relationship as well as what I don't, who I am, who I know to be is true, how to better keep my boundaries drawn. Because this was the first girlfriend of mine, because I've always had something in my life where if I break up with someone, if we break up, it's probably for a reason, and it's we ought to move forward, and we probably shouldn't be getting back together if we've broken up. But this was the only girl in my life that I made that exception more than once. And now I realize that I had that rule for a reason before. But I still love her and loved her so much. There was something very electric. But that's the thing, is that what you need to think about in terms of love, and this is advice that I will give when meeting people and embracing love, is look for the butterflies. Do not look for the lightning bolts, okay? The lightning bolts is going to be a chaotic relationship. It's going to be the high highs. It's going to be the low lows. It's going to be addictive. You're going to be addicted to it. You're going to be addicted to the chaos of it because the highs are high as frick and the lows are low because they turn into breakups a lot of the time and then you get back together. But I remember meeting this girl and I remember that lightning bolt moment. It was one of those moments where I remember telling people that I had never experienced meeting someone like that in my life, where I felt like I truly fell in love with them when I locked lips with them. It was insane for me. And I know I'm a hopeless romantic and I embrace the fact that I am a hopeless romantic because I really, really fought that before when I was a younger guy. Because I was told that I needed to be a dude and dudes don't really embrace romanticism because that's a very effeminate thing. And you know what? I just needed to grow up a little bit more. And if you think that romance is effeminate, you just need to grow up a little bit more because with masculinity, there is so much femininity to it. In fact, biologically, we need estrogen. We need a good amount of estrogen as males to offset our testosterone as well. Estrogen leads to bone health. You know, if you don't have good estrogen, you know, if it's disrupted, you're going to be leading towards osteopenia, penia meaning deficiency of or poverty of, and then osteo meaning bone, deficiency of bone that leads into osteoporosis, poro meaning porous, osis meaning the breaking down of. If you look at bones, they have little pores in them. So from osteopenia, the first initial turns into osteoporotic, porosis, the breaking down of porous bone. Where those pores end up becoming kind of larger and become more brittle, and that's when you break a femur and then you die of sepsis in the hospital. So let's not do that, y'all. Anyways, yin and yang, the masculine to the feminine. Tell me that as a dad, you take all of that masculine energy and you turn that into nurturing and caretaking and loving and supporting and holding that child and that baby gently and tenderly, very effeminately. But that being said, I'm continuing on with this because this was a relationship where we got together. It was a relationship where I had expressed all of my feelings for her and she was still getting over a prior relationship that she was still talking to the ex-boyfriend of and that created a lot of chaos and she wasn't really willing to be with me at that time. And then later on, I was basically just getting strung along because I was just head over heels for this girl, but she didn't want to basically consider us together because she didn't want to make her ex-boyfriend mad at the time. And I'm just going to say this straight up. The ex-boyfriend was a gentleman that was more than 20 years older than her. And so this was also wreaking havoc in my mind. I've actually never talked to people about this before. So if you're here for it, thanks. And you know what? If you're listening to this out there, Thanks. But, and that was its own problems in itself that I failed to really look at because I was too head over heels for this girl at the time. But you know what? He was an adjunct professor at my college because we were actually doing a little bit of this long distance thing. I was at USU. She went to Utah State, or I mean, University of Utah. So that was a little bit of like a little over an hour drive for me from Logan to Salt Lake. And I would do that drive a lot more than she would do it for me. I remember that was, you know, doing all these things and, you know, not being, after a while, I remember there was a time when I was having a conversation with her, and this was right after Thanksgiving. And I just met all of her family, and I just asked her, like, where are we at? Like, are we together? I was confused. I was very confused still because I felt like I was her boyfriend, but she wasn't really wanting to call us that because still she didn't want to upset this ex-boyfriend of hers because of when she had initially mentioned me in the past, he had been very toxic and manipulative and done the whole crazy ex-boyfriend type of thing. You know, clearly this guy as a 45-year-old, I can't remember how old he is. You know what? Congratulations. You're a predator. Yeah, I'll say it. Sorry, not sorry. And you'll never hear this, but yeah, you're a predator and you shouldn't be working as an adjunct professor in photography and taking inappropriate pictures of students that may be older than 18, but are very much not, that is not appropriate. I'm sorry. One thing that really upsets me, just predators in general. I won't go into it much, but I have been involved in a case where I actually got a teacher fired because I had been documenting and just off of vibes at first, and in which case it led into gathering evidence because unfortunately you can't go off vibes when you bring it to admin and HR, but when you bring evidence to support your vibes, yeah. So I can honestly say that I've been, because I will not, especially in places where they try to find themselves embedded so that they can find themselves easy targets to prey on, to groom. And you know what? I have a lot of problems with that. And thinking about that ex, well, you know what? Hopefully he is growing. And if he does, he does. And if he doesn't, he doesn't. And so what? Because I don't care about him. And I never engaged with him, even though I really wanted to. And I really wanted to meet him because I knew what he looked like. I knew where he was on my campus. And I wanted to approach him so freaking badly. But that being said, I remember that night she said that she didn't want us to really be anything exclusive. And I remember I was like, you know what, at this point, you're just telling me that you don't want to be with me. And I think I just need to go. And I remember us having this conversation. And I remember her crying so much. It was just like really, it was really hard because then I was trying to leave and I left and eventually at like 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock that morning, drove home. I remember the cops pulled me over that night. And he was like, you know, it's kind of late. He was like, what are you doing? I was like, man, like, because I know that he was probably, he was actually one of the chillest cops that I met in Logan, Utah. So shout out to that guy because I remember I stopped by McDonald's too because I was I needed some coffee and then I got like a couple hash browns because it was like 1 o'clock in the morning and I still had like an hour and 20 minute drive. So I remember coming into Logan and he pulled me over and he was like, hey, you know, like you enjoying your McDonald's there? And I was like, yeah, man, like, you know what? I'm just going to be really frank with you right now. I've had the worst night of my life. I just broke up with my girlfriend that. Well, I don't know if she really was my girlfriend. And I'm coming back from Salt Lake right now. And he's like, you know what? Just get home safe. Enjoy the rest of your hash browns. And I'm sorry. And I remember that cop. Thanks, dude. Because I dealt with some really nasty cops in Logan. And they would just kind of pick you out if you didn't look the part of the whole Mormon thing. And I realized that at that time, you know, cops would like frisk me for zero reason. It happened like more than once. I'll get into that in another story if you guys want to hear about that kind of stuff, because they would like literally throw me in the back of their cop car. They'd be like, you know what? Because I would like not allow them to search my car because they didn't have probable cause at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and them accusing me of driving recklessly when I was going the speed limit. And it was very odd, but it happened twice. And I think it's also because I had a New Mexico license plate maybe. And that also, I actually didn't have a tattoo at the time, or anything like that, but I had some pierced ears. So that's the beginning of our relationship. After that, I go home. We start to kind of talk again, work things out. She has all these epiphanies, and she says so many things that I wish she had said that she hadn't said, that now she's saying about how like she's sorry about, you know, and that she wanted to leave, I don't want to say his name, leave him behind, not talk to him. She was sorry. She made a mistake and this and that. And I'd never had so many of these, like, she just like affirmed a lot of things for me. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is all I wanted. So I remember I came back, and I remember coming back, driving from Santa Fe to Logan, but I was stopping in Salt Lake to see her. And this was after Christmas break, coming back for the next semester. And I've never felt again lightning bolts, embracing her and seeing her and feeling so like looking at her and shaking. And it was so like some in another world, in another universe, maybe we were meant to be together, but just not in this one. Because we were electric and solid for a hot second, and all the things started to dissolve again. And then I had my parts in it, just like in all parts. I was dealing with a lot of extenuating stresses at that time, and too, when I was trying to graduate from school and stuff like that. She was my girlfriend. I wanted her to be my girlfriend. We were finally boyfriend and girlfriend. But I still had the resentment of her ex-boyfriend because she started to talk to him again. And then she saw a comedy thing with him and her friend who was also his friend. And then, you know, and I just had to basically be like, all right, you know what? I can't act insecure or anything like that. So I just got to be okay with it. And then I would allow these things to cross my boundaries. Just like, you know, the fact that she was talking to her ex when I was trying to be with her, I was allowing these small, subtle things to embed themselves to turn into resentment later on. And I started to use that resentment as kind of a weapon towards her. And I started to change in that relationship, because then when she started to do these things that she said she wouldn't do before, and then I started to hold resentment towards that as like leverage over her, then we would start to argue. And then that's when I'm not a fighting person, but I've never fought so much in a relationship. And then we broke up again, and I went home, and then we stayed broken up for a while. And then I sent her a letter. I think it was after she like reached out to me, I think. And I wasn't ready. And then I sent her a letter, and then she found the letter. And then I can't remember how we came back into contact with one another, but we did. And we talked. And this was right before quarantine started to happen, where I traveled out to see her. in March of 2020. This was after graduating and all that stuff. I was back in Santa Fe. I was working as a Latin teacher at a private school, of which they treated me really poorly. And they were a bunch of liars too. So, Tara Chandler, you're a liar. I'm just going to say that. And you know that you're a liar. And I don't like liars. Sorry, not sorry, babe. That being said, man, talk about story time, you guys. You guys got a real big story time here ahead of y'all. Because there's more. So now I travel out to see her, and I remember we're kind of working through things and being with her, and we're talking about moving in together. And she's talking about moving down with me, and that she's working and she can turn her position into remote so that she works with remotely, and then I can work physically back in Santa Fe and she can come and move in with me. Lots of moves. So I traveled out to see her. Everything was amazing. And then quarantine hit. I remember I was in Salt Lake that Friday when they started to close down all of the bars and everything and saying that this was happening. In fact, on that same trip, she and I woke up to an earthquake. Yeah, I remember that. An earthquake. I'd never been in an earthquake before, but I remember lots of things, just very, very weird. And so I remember I traveled back to Santa Fe. We made the according arrangements. And then one day she just literally, honestly, she didn't even let me know. She just said like, hey, I'm on the road and I'll be in Santa Fe soon. And I was like, holy crap. And then that all ensued. And she started to move in with me. And quarantine happened. And I moved remote into a position where the antithesis, the school was not able to do the whole remote thing. And it was just like, yeah. So that happened. And we're together and we're doing well. And then again, things start to creep in and we're fighting again. And then I'm fighting with my parents because I'm also working part-time at their office. And a lot of things are happening right now that's just making me very, very, very uneasy. And so with all of that, what do you think that I do as a smart, I was like 20, 25 at the time, smart 25-year-old, Aiden. Well, there's her name. Let's move to somewhere else. And then we decided on Portland. And after that school year, it's kind of like an F you to my parents because of the way that they had been with me and treating me and kind of confusing me as well. I was all just very confused. And I left. And I wanted them to feel upset because they had a part in that. They really did push me away. But who did they push me into? They pushed me further into my girlfriend, who was probably not the person that I should have been reliant on for a lot of things. And so then we move up to Portland. And then in August, a bunch of wildfires hit. They inundate Portland forever. Alongside COVID, we have basically state of emergency telling us to not go outside because of the amount of ash falling from the sky. It literally looked like post-apocalyptia. And then still, our relationship, it's like we move to try and fix it. And then all of a sudden, it's like going down and down and down and down. And I'm not being truthful with her. I don't know if she's been, she was being truthful with me, but I know that I lost myself because I was not being truthful to myself and to her at that time. I was a shell of myself, and I so, so desperately wanted to be proud. And especially, you know, starting this new life with her as well, like we really did have an identity together for so long. It was just like on and off and on and off and on. And so further things started to just kind of dissolve and further dissolve. And like when you're living with someone and there's fighting and there's just like nothing, it just, it's really hard. It's really hard when you are led to believe something about yourself that you feel like is not true, but you're being led to believe it's true. It's almost like, well, she taught me the term gaslighting, and I didn't really know what that meant until she explained it to me. But now I know that I kind of was gaslit a lot in that relationship, as well as I gaslit her. I know I did. Two to tango. I take full ownership in a lot of the problems in our relationship because I would take that resentment of her ex-boyfriend and I would still bring that up kind of stuff. How can you move past and develop a great relationship when you hold on to things that shouldn't, that are not serving you, not serving the relationship or anything? What do you do? I was being petty. I was being gross. I was making arguments out of petty things. She was making arguments out of petty things. And I think when she felt like potentially being polyamorous could fix our relationship, that's when I checked out. I remember she wanted to watch a movie with me about polyamory to get an idea of it all and all this stuff. And I mean, the movie didn't even have a good ending. I felt so crappy afterwards. And I'm not a, I told her, and she had been, I don't know if she was talking to people that had been, you know, had tried it before or something like that, but like she had been entertaining polyamory before. And if people know me, that's just not me. I can't do it. I'm not going to do it. I think that a relationship between two people is already tough enough. Bringing in a whole new person, what the heck? No way, Jose. People say that I've talked to when trying to understand, like, oh, there's so much love to give that they just want to have all this love. No, that's BS, all right? I'm sorry. You know what? If you're a supporter of mine that is polyamorous, more power to you. But you know what? It's not for me. So it's BS for me, but maybe not for you, right? But that being said, I think that when you're looking and when you're being given the information that your current girlfriend is thinking that polyamory is going to fix that relationship, what I'm just hearing is that she kind of wants to go have sex with other people or guys. I don't know. But still have the comfort of being able to come back to me and having our apartment and our cool, yeah, we had a cool space. She always had really rockin' awesome style. I always loved her style. No, I couldn't do that. And so the breakup really happened, but the breakup happened through like a 3-month-long process. And that was like, hey, if you've ever lived with someone but also been in the process of breaking up with them, it is a really hard thing. It's a really hard thing to navigate. And it really can cripple you. I remember this was the only time that I have ever done this in my life, and I will be straight up with you guys about this. In order to just dissociate, I was deliberate in trying to dissociate from my reality. Alrighty, I got cut off at 30-minute mark, but at the time, I was working part-time online as a Latin teacher, and then I was also working part-time online as a math tutor at a mathnasium, as well as in-person at that mathnasium. And I would do that in the afternoons usually, and then what would happen was I would get home, and then light would be out, and I would go on like a little small bike ride. And then while I would do that, just to like, I was really trying to avoid being around her a lot. And what would I do? Well, I started to get into this habit of going to the corner store and getting a White Claw and drinking it, and then biking some more, and then stopping in another corner store and getting a White Claw and drinking it. And I would probably be 3 White Claws deep, biking around in Portland. And that's illegal. That's operating a vehicle under the influence. Because I know that I was trying to get myself into a, because I started to realize that alcohol numbed me. And that is a very big problem, because when you start to rely on those things to help dissociate you and get you away from what you're actually dealing with physically, you're not addressing anything. And so what I would do is I would do that so that coming home would be maybe a little bit easier, because I felt so disheveled coming home and feeling inundated. And when I would hear her crying, and I felt like a monster. And I just didn't know how to deal with it. And so that was my coping. A very unhealthy coping mechanism. I didn't know anybody really in Portland. Everybody was so cold and nasty kind of in Portland during that time. I had such a better view of it when I was going there during undergrad. But yeah. So come to the end of our relationship here. The final days. She sits me down because she's been trying to like, I was telling her, I was like, why are you trying to like therapize me? Why are you trying to tell me what you are seeing in me? You know? And so she's like, I want you to watch these videos. And I didn't know really what to expect. And she was like, I think that you have NPD. And I didn't really know what NPD was until she expounded on that, that being narcissistic personality disorder. And she told me that. And I was like, what? But then I felt like it would be clearly a narcissistic trait for me to not look at these videos that she wanted to show me on YouTube. So I was like, all right, like I'm still here for it. I told her, I was like, you know what? I know that and that was the thing, is like at the end of the relationship with all this therapizing, I had felt all of the fault and blame kind of just put on me for the relationship. And so I'm watching these videos, and here I am sitting in the fact that I'm being seen as a narcissist, and I've never been thought of that. I like, to the point where I remember Aiden left that a couple mornings after, early in the morning. And I remember like after she left, here I am just, there was like a semblance of relief because it was over, but I was so sad and so angry and so, yeah. I remember asking people around me, my parents, am I a narcissist? What is this? Like everybody, and like, no, I'm not. No. But I was led to believe that for a bit, and it really like tore me up. It turned me topsy-turvy. I was like looking upside down in my right side up world. I felt so wonky. And so I was alone in Portland. And I didn't have enough money to afford the apartment that I was living in at the time, because she and I were jointly contributing to that. So I was luckily able to find another apartment right down the hallway that was a shoebox of an apartment, 300 square feet, but I could afford it at that time. And that's when I really hit a rock bottom. You know, I've never felt so alone in my life, where my identity was just not there. I didn't know where my identity was anymore. And that's when I realized that it's not about being perfect. It's not about being the best. It's about putting in the tiny reps that you can when you can, in order to reflect and look back at yourself and say that you're proud of something that you didn't think that you could do and that you've now proven yourself that you can do. And that took a long time, because she left in October, the end of October 2020, and I stayed in Portland working, trying to just live my life, figure out what I was going to do for my next steps, because she moved back to home to Utah. I ended up leaving, well, what brought me out to Colorado was a job offer. Three job offers, actually, for Latin teaching. At the time, I was applying to be a physical therapist for physical therapy school, because I'm only I'd only done assistant work at that time, and then I also decided to just on a whim do a Latin resume and just throw it out into the ethers, and I did, and I got two job offers in Colorado, one in San Antonio. I was urged about San Antonio because that's where my brother lives. And I was like, oh, that'd be kind of cool to be physically with him. But I'd gotten a better vibe when interviewing with the people at Rocky Mountain. You know what? Sometimes vibes, I'm not the best with vibes over a Zoom meeting, but vibes in person are a different story for me, because I can't say that I was at RMCA, but I am no longer there anymore, and I'm glad to not be there anymore. Especially when you get written reprimands for saying pissing off and hell in a class. So, yeah. And the reason why I bring that up is because that period between October in quarantine in Portland during the wintertime, working remotely for the most part, and sometimes in person with part-time mathnasium tutoring, I really had to refine myself, my identity, because I lost it. I've never felt like I've hit rock bottom more than once in my life, but that was a rock bottom where I had nobody but myself. And I could either continue to go down and spiral down, and in which case I don't know where I would be. Or I had to realize, you know what? I'm going to have to do this, and I'm going to have to ask for help, and I'm going to have to put in the reps. But I did it, and you can do it, because we can always find a way. What one man can do, another man can do. What woman can do, another woman can do. With what one woman can do, another woman can do. Just, it's a quote from Anthony Hopkins in the movie called The Edge, along starring Alec Baldwin. Great movie about a Kodiak bear that goes on the hunt for some guys that get stuck in the middle of the Kodiak Island wilderness in Alaska. Awesome movie. I love watching those types of movies because I also like to look at terrain while watching movies. I'm that kind of person. So yeah, if you didn't know, now you know. That's a little bit about me. And I think that I'll address one more question. But I'm heavied out right now, I think. But thank you for listening and being here, because I appreciate you guys. And this isn't, you know, this is just someone that I was a part of my life for so long and is still embedded. Like, I still dream about her. It's okay. I think through time, all of it will be relinquished, because I relinquish everything and all the things that I had towards anger towards her, sadness, grief, whatever. I just hope she's happy. I hope she's, if she's with someone, she's with the person that is giving her what she needs, and that she's doing the same for that other person. But sometimes we hold on to love so, so deeply, and it's just not the right love. And if you guys have listened to this fully and completely, the advice that I would say to you in general, from the little amount that I've been on this earth, 28 years really isn't a lot. It's that don't settle. Don't be content. If you know you want more, seek it out. What livens your soul? What makes you happy? What is the love that you want in your life? Is it the love that you have? Or are you forcing it? Love can't be forced. Love has to be embraced. Love can't be chaotic either. Love needs to be consistent. It can't be manic depressive. It can't be up and down. It can't be a roller coaster. It's got to be solid. It can wax and wane. It can undulate, but it can't be chaos. And if it is, then think about it. Because I had to think about it for a long time. Because I still love that person, and I always will. Okay, there you guys know a little bit more about me, and my next question: what advice would you give to your younger self? Well, per that long story that I just gave, boundaries. Boundaries are something that I have always been very bad at drawing for myself, because when I've not drawn boundaries, I've allowed them to be crossed. And I've said that things are okay when inherently they really weren't okay, but I just said them to that person because I didn't want to look insecure at that time or something like that. And that's what creates, excuse me, resentment. And resentment, the way that I tell people, is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Like, really. It just kills you. It tears you up. It makes you want to be on the bright side of the relationship all the time. And, or you just want, you know, you hold that as like that resentment becomes like this embedded leverage that you might employ at some point, or deploy like a bomb and just weaponize that kind of stuff. I would also say, be kind to yourself. I have not been kind to myself in the past. I have been too much of a debilitated perfectionist. I have felt like I needed to be perfect in this imperfect world, and that's just kind of impossible, right? So, I don't know. What else would I give my younger self? Tell my younger self it's okay. I see you. Maybe all these other people don't, but I see you. I think that that's why I appreciate being a teacher now. As an observer, I get to kind of right the wrongs of what people had done to me, and that I would never do or want to do or want some little kid to have to go through. I'm their advocate, and I always will be. And that's why I do love teaching, is because I look at all those little kids and I see, like, I was talking to my brother a while back when he was still teaching, and I thought about it. I was like, what do you think it would be like to have your younger self in your classroom? I know I'd probably love my younger self. I might be also really, no, actually, because I was too scared to really talk to teachers. So I wouldn't have been an annoying student either. I was always trying to get best grades, trying to do my best, be proud with an arbitrary letter that just meant zero things other than to play the game and the system now for me to get into the colleges and the scholarships that I needed and wanted so that I could get away from Santa Fe and all the small-minded people and whatnot. But yeah, I see my students because I know that growing up is tough, and now growing up is even more tough. I don't know. I'm going to address one more question because it makes me think of my students real quickly. This is from Guy. Guy. You make me think of Guy, if you've ever seen Galaxy Quest. You just made me think of Guy. If anybody has ever seen Galaxy Quest, please don't make me feel like I'm the only one and that I just laid out a weird cringe moment right there. But Guy asks, how do you handle failure? I embrace it. And that's what I tell my students. I say, you know what? I want you guys to fail in this class. I want you to embrace failure, because that's something that I did not do as my younger self. I could not embrace it because I was too scared. I was too scared to put myself out there, to have the gumption of putting my hand up and saying, this is the answer to the question, even though I wasn't sure. I was too scared to do that because I was too scared to get it wrong and for people to look at me and laugh at me and be like, oh, you're wrong. You got it wrong. Ha, 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 ha. I was too busy thinking that everybody else was looking at me when they really weren't. And you know what? It's okay. So remember that embracing failure is just recognizing that you're embracing your humanity, and that whatever we look at that's wrong, we can just make it right and look at what's wrong and look at what's right and then move on from there. Skibbity-bibbity-bop. It's not rocket science and it's not hard. That's why, you know, I tell the students, and then at first they're like, gasp, what? Mr. Connerly, what? And I just kind of laugh and I'm like, you know what? I hear you guys. I understand that that sounds kind of weird, but I just want you guys to try. Remember, show up with that percentage, with whatever percentage that is that day. I know you can't always give me 100%, so you don't have to. But whatever percentage you're at, give me that percentage, and I'll sub in the rest, and I'll support you. I love working with my students because they are rock stars when they show up. And then sometimes when I got to throw down a spiel, I got to throw down a spiel, and it's obnoxious, but it has to be done. But that being said, I think we're done. I think I've recorded quite a bit, quite enough. I hope you guys enjoyed this, getting to know me a little bit more. I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your day. Thank yourself, your body, your mind, your soul. Appreciate yourself, and maybe consider looking in the mirror and pointing at yourself and looking and seeing, maybe looking for a while, repeating that I love you, something stupid like that. I've done that before. I was like, this is stupid. And the more I say I love you, the more I kind of start to break down and then cry like a little baby. So maybe you got to do that. Maybe you don't. I still love y'all just the same, and I always will love y'all. So thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And with that last thank you, thank you, thank you, tempus est scedere.